All right, Joe, we're going to talk to Eric Wood here in just a second, but first let me get to the injury report for Dolphins and the Bills. First one came out yesterday afternoon. It's brought to you by the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Experts. They treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game is at uhealthsportsmedicine.com there. So yesterday, at least on the Bills side, John Brown and Tremaine Edwards did not practice. Two notable names on the Buffalo Bills side of the ball did not practice for the Dolphins. Eldon Roberts, full practice. Kyle Van Noy and Preston Williams, that's good news. Devontae, Byron Jones, Xavier Howard, Jakeem Grant, all were limited as well. That is your UHealth injury report for this week, Dolphins and Bills.
One guy I'm worried about is Devontae Parker. Just completely different team if he can't play. After watching what he did basically by himself the last eight games of the season, to tease you on what he can be against any corner, to not having him, boy, I'll tell you what, they're going to have the work cut out if he can't play. And the hamstring usually takes a while before it's ready to go. So that would be the tough one. As far as John Brown goes, he'll be ready to play.
Right. John Brown last week, right?
No, I'm talking about him coming back home. His ass is back home here.
Oh, right, right.
He's from down at Homestead. He'll be back. God, they got 6-7 guys from South Florida on this roster to start with. So anyway, Eric Wood's going to join us coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll talk to him. 9 years, drafted by the Buffalo Bills in the first round, of course, is not only doing the games for the Buffalo Bills, but he's also on ACC Football Network, and of course, he went to school at Louisville. Well, gosh darn it, man. That's just what the Miami Hurricanes getting ready to do, is play Louisville, and of course, Buffalo Bills coming to town, and we'll see what the Dolphins have in store for all the adjustments they have to make from week one to week two with that running machine, Jason Allen, who he's 500-600 yards. He'll be 500 or 600 yards again this year running the football.
It should be right.
Not going to be 1,000, but every year he likes to run, man, and he can run, and he's big, and he's fast, strong, and
also threw the ball last week 46 times, so that's a lot also for him.
Well, listen, this is the best weapons they've had too. They added a really, really good one from Minnesota, so
yeah. All right, well, Joe, let's head out to the Toy End of Hollywood hotline right now, and let's talk to Eric Wood, who's on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, and like you said, ACC Network as well, from Louisville. Eric, good morning. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Eric, how you doing, man? How you holding up with the craziness of all these jobs and not traveling with the football team and everything else?
Man, I'm holding up all right. The biggest thing for me right now is New York State COVID rules. Mandates a 14-day quarantine. Our home's in Louisville, Kentucky now, so I'm actually just doing Bills post-game now, but I'm still traveling for ACC. This week I'm at Clemson. They got a barn burner against the Citadel, so we're prepping. We need to probably prep for NFL storylines, college storylines. Yeah. We're gonna be searching for everything.
Eric, let me ask you about this one, and it's the one the Dolphins just got physically beat up pretty good by the Patriots. I think the Bills by far have the most complete team going off last year and what they've added, but you still got to get through this mental thing of the Patriots and what they've been able to do to the Bills. You think they're ready, that they look and they go, damn it, this has got to be the year. How do you get over that? Because the Patriots got some holes in that team, even though you would have never known last week.
Yeah, I think this team is confident enough to take the division at this point. And I say that from an outsider looking in now. That's not from a locker room perspective. But, you know, they've been waiting for this moment. They've been building towards this. You know, for years the Bills were drafting athletic linebackers, Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, to combat those athletic tight ends for New England. And I think everyone in the division was, because everyone was looking up at New England for so long, and they still are. Until someone knocks them off the throne, they're still the AFC East champs, and they've been for so many years straight, besides the 1 year that Castle filled in for Brady. And so when you look at all that, the Bills have to knock them off this year, but I think this is the year that they get it done.
Yeah, Josh Allen has made a little bit of strides in becoming a better quarterback, throwing the ball, because we know he can run the ball. So he threw the ball 46 times last week, but also ran the ball for 57 yards, and you saw what happened to the Dolphin defense last week with a rushing running quarterback. Do you expect this little copycat to work this week for Buffalo again, maybe have Josh Allen run the ball a bunch against the Dolphins?
You know, I think as the season goes on and as Josh develops in his career, they want him to start throwing the ball more, scramble less quarterback design runs. But, you know, at this point of his career, he's still young. He's in his third year. He's 250 pounds. Part of his strength is his ability to run the ball. So they're not going to completely shy away from it. Are they going to, you know, use him as a power back like they did in Carolina? Probably not, because they don't want what happened to Cam Newton and get really banged up, you know, 8-9 years into his career. But, yeah, it's a, as you guys know, the NFL is a copycat league, and you always have to check and make sure that, you know, they're going to check and make sure the Dolphins shirt up their quarterback run defense this week in practice.
Eric, what's the strength of the Bills right now? Because I really do think they're well-balanced. They got a lot of good players everywhere, but what would you say the strength of the team is?
Well, the strength of the team is the defense, and it was last year. They were third in the league statistically last year. They returned virtually everybody, the same scheme. They add a few pieces, especially some defensive line talent. They brought in Mario Addison, defensive end from Carolina. They brought in Jefferson, the D-tackle, from Seattle, and then he didn't play last week, but Vernon Butler, the defensive tackle they had from Carolina, is an excellent player as well. So, I mean, when you look at that, you know, the strength of the Bills is going to be their defense. If the offense, which was statistically in the mid-20s last year, I mean, if they could even get to the mid-teens, kind of be middle of the pack, you know, I think this is a team that could contend for the AFC championship.
Eric, you've been through the gauntlet of OTAs and off-season camps and then training camp and then preseason games. And then even then, there's still some sloppy play in the beginning of the season. Were you surprised last week around the entire NFL without all of that, that there was actually some pretty good football, some really good football in some of these games?
Yeah, I was impressed by it. And I think everybody was getting ready because it was probably on every broadcaster's, every color guy. Now I'm a color guy. I know this. I know it was on the tip of every one of their tongues to say, oh, look at all these pre-snap penalties.
Right.
Look at all these fumbles because these guys haven't taken any contact through the preseason. And you know what? It was a pretty clean week one of football, and it probably goes to what the players have been saying for a while to cut down on these preseason games. But when they could sell tickets for them, and, you know, it does make it a lot easier to evaluate talent when you get all those preseason games, and I get all that. But is there a happy medium? Somewhere, probably, and I think we get to that at some point, you know, reducing the amount of preseason games. Maybe it's more joint practices, it's less preseason games, so you can actually evaluate talent against people in a different jersey. But I was really impressed with week one of NFL football. You know, I called the Louisville Western Kentucky game last week, and I was in the stadium, and I'm not sure exactly how they're doing it in the stadiums with no fans, but you know, last week they had a DJ in Louisville Stadium that was keeping the volume during the game, so there wasn't, you know, dead spots. And, you know, I think football in general right now, they're making it work.
All right, well, let's talk about your team, where you went to school, and now we got the Cardinals and Canes, Miami Hurricanes, Saturday night. What are your thoughts on what you saw from the Cardinals?
The Cardinals looked good in week one. They had some punting issues. So Western Kentucky had 21 points. 14 of them came from punts by Louisville that resulted in Western Kentucky getting the ball inside Louisville's 10-yard line twice. They scored on both those times. So it could have been a wider margin. But Louisville's offense is good again this year. They have some really, really talented players on offense. And Scott Satterfield is an offensive-minded head coach. Defensively, they were awful last year. The Hurricanes absolutely lit them up last year. That was their one truly lopsided game last year, was against the Hurricanes. And we'll see. You know, the Hurricanes add talent. Last year, I called a couple of Hurricanes games last year, and I was not that impressed with Dan Enos and his offense. And they still lit up Louisville. So with Tariq King and weapons, a new offense, I know Louisville's going to have their hands full, but College Game Day game in Louisville, you know, limited in Miami. This game's in Louisville. I keep mixing up my Bills and my Cardinals, College Game Day game. It'll be an awesome deal for both programs that are trying to get back to where they were not too many years ago. Canes obviously have a lot stronger of a history than Louisville, but it wasn't that long ago that Louisville was competing for a playoff spot. And so both these programs have a lot to gain Saturday night by putting their best foot forward.
Eric, I want to ask you, and I don't know if you're going to agree with this or not, but I'm down here and pretty involved in the high school football. Louisville, going back to Teddy Bridgewater, really opened up the gate to get a lot of South Florida kids, and it continues. And it really, I thought, changed the football, and especially skill position players. Do you agree with that, that that's really helped their program with their recruiting in South Florida, the success they've had?
Yeah, no doubt. And Lamar Jackson came from South Florida. Teddy Bridgewater came from South Florida. When I was playing at Louisville, we had a ton of kids from Florida, but a lot of them were from Duval County area, a little bit northern. Now Louisville's recruiting Miami tremendously well. Part of that was from Charlie Strong, who was right. coaching, who has tons of ties to South Florida. Part of that was Charlie Strong and Clint Hurd, who played for the Canes, going down there and recruiting. But Teddy Bridgewater was like the Pied Piper. When he was at a 7-on-7 All-American camp, and they got to meet Teddy Bridgewater, there's a lot of guys that wanted to go play ball with him. He also played at Miami Northwestern, really strong program. They get Eli Rogers out of there. It's some other really talented players, John Miller out of there. So you get some that guys that are playing on Sundays now. So you get a lot of talent from there. But it's amazing how those guys kind of recruit each other. And I love Miami. Me and my wife love to vacation down there. But Louisville's a pretty special town, too. And when these kids that grew up in Miami, they get to come up here and they get to be around buddies and people that they grew up around and heard of and kind of switch culture a little bit. Like, they get a kick out of that. They enjoy it. And they've seen so many guys come here to Louisville, play early,
right,
leave as juniors and go get paid. And that's a recipe for recruiting.
Eric, I just want to tell you, I have never in all my years ever seen what Teddy Bridgewater did when he decided he wasn't going to Miami and he picked all those guys up and took them with him. They didn't need to have a recruiting coordinator down here. Teddy just said,
right,
hey, they changed. We're changing coaches. I'm going with Charlie. Come on, let's go. He must have taken like 10 guys with him. Like, they're like, and they're all good players. They're all, and by the way,
no
would they all beat? They beat Florida. Like, they were like, okay, they're real now. Crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a really talented team with Teddy Bridgewater, Devontae Parker, who you guys have down there now. And that was a super talented team. Devontae Parker, a Louisville kid, I could have told you when he was in eighth grade that dude was going to be starting on Sundays or playing NBA basketball. Tremendous basketball player, too. But, yeah, when Teddy came up here, it was definite culture shift. I remember meeting Teddy Bridgewater when he was a freshman at U of L and just thinking, like, what an incredible kid this is. Then you get to meet his mom, who's just a phenomenal person.
Unbelievable.
And you see what Teddy's doing now in the NFL and the impact that he's making in communities from New Orleans to Miami. He's just phenomenal. And when you see all that and you get to meet him, then you say, oh, this is why everyone would come up. They'd go all the way up to Louisville to come play with Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, no, it's been great stuff for sure.
Eric, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
for the time
Eric.
Today.
You lot, take lot care of yourself, man, right. For sure. Thank you, bud.
Yep, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Joe, let's do a little fantasy football report right now. It's brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. It's more of the injury front this week, as you're going to be dealing with every week in fantasy football, but there's a lot of top flight number one wide receivers questionable or looking to see if they're going to play this week. Chris Godwin, Devontae Parker, Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Kenny Galladay, even George Kittle, all banged up last week or did not play last week and are hoping to either try to get on the field this week or see what happens injury-wise before practice over on Friday. A lot of fantasy football news. And it's all brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Keep your eyes open and on the news reports the rest of the week if you're in fantasy football world right now.
Hamstring, 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 man. A lot of hamstrings. Guys trying to play through, including a running back and wide receiver for the Dolphins. So we'll see how it all plays out, man. Part of your fantasy football leagues and every week. And, oh, by the way, COVID-19 as well. And so we'll see. I'm really curious to see that one. Nobody's talking much about it, but to see from week one to week two, Now the guys are kind of out on their own. Everybody's back home. Even the guys who are staying in hotels now have checked out and back in their places. And so we'll see how the league does with that compared to what baseball looked like when it first started, including what the Marlins had to go through. By the way, it's just a crazy time. So we got the Canes and Cardinals. We're just talking to Eric Wood about 7:30 ABC Saturday night. You got Heat and Celtics tonight, 7 o'clock. Marlins and Red Sox got another game today. Marlins just been really, if you haven't paid attention, 25-22. Just a couple of games actually behind the Braves right now. I don't know if they have enough to catch them or not, but they got expanded playoffs anyway, so they would be in the party, and they're looking really good. We talked about maybe going 30-30. They keep this up, they'll be better than that in this very limited 60-game schedule that they have. We have Thursday night football tonight, Mayfield and Burrow, Cincinnati and Cleveland at 8:20. And if that's not enough and the Marlins playing today isn't enough, then how about the U.S. Open? How about that as they get ready to play that and all the money going on Tiger at 40-1 or 45-1, whatever the odds that have changed up a little bit as the money comes in. I just think it's funny. And I know I get that the odds are so good. For some reason, he puts it all together. You know, you can make a lot of money, but he just hasn't. I think everybody thought he was going to come back this year and play a lot and kind of take off the way he did last year, and it just hasn't happened. Just nope. Doesn't
you expect
enough.
It to happen?
No.
I'm
wondering if you can make the cut, man.
Right,
this is
right. That's
this.
Problem,
this is a tough golf course. This is a tight fairway and super high rough. Like these guys are saying, as soon as I hear those guys a couple days ago on Golf Channel talking about the ball disappearing and they can't find it, I'm like, oh man, if you guys are bitching as the best players in the world.
Oh man, I can't even imagine.
The old 20 handicapper out there goes, I'm out. I just want to watch you bastards struggle a little bit, man. That's all.
We should have had you out there for 9 holes at least just to see what it would look like for the normal person out there before we get to the top flight guys.
So I have some friends in Nat Moore and Dan Marino and John Kinjimmy and guys like that love to play really hard golf courses because they're all good players, really good players. I mean, in the 70s, all can play, all legit, all like to compete, you know, all real confident dudes. Not just not even in their world, not even close to it. Like, they get a chance and they like to go play all of them all around the country when they have time. Not me, man. That's just a waste of time. That's frustrating. That'll just not, it's not, if you can't hit it straight and just not fun. Not fun at all. You guys ever play a really tough golf course? I mean, it's one thing to go out and slap it around where it's wide open and there's no such thing as a bad shot. You can kind of spray it back up there. But these courses they make for those guys, even the Doral, even the Blue Monster.
Right.
Like, no, thank you. not really interested.
I just don't see why someone would want to play a course like that if you're not a great golfer.
Because you think you can just make a couple of pars.
Yourself.
Yeah, but if you hit a couple of really good shots and a lot of guys can hit a long. There's a lot of guys out there that aren't very good golfers or average golfers that can hit a long way. But those guys can't, if they can't hit it straight, these golf courses will chew their ass up. Mm. It'll put 20 shots on top of whatever they're used to shooting in a heartbeat, man.
Well, that's why you bring enough golf balls and you just take a drop when needed.
You're going, I think it was over here. All right, go ahead and drop it. No, I'm going to place it because if I drop it, I'll never be able to hit it.
Yeah, Hollywood, this is one of those courses you'd break 80 on, right, if you practiced every day?
I'd have to practice. I'm a little rusty right now. I haven't played in a while.
Hey, listen, man, there ain't enough time for you to play the course they're on right now. You could play the rest of your life. You ain't cracking 100. I'm dead serious. You could play.
I just think you give these guys way too much credit.
I don't think you give him enough.
You understand, like, Woody, like, this of all the majors, they make the U.S. Open the most difficult, right? Do you know that? I don't know. I'm being serious. It's not a shot. They make this so those guys have to basically on Sunday afternoon around even par to a couple under. That's it. There's a lot of bogeys and double bogeys and some triple bogeys from the best friggin' players in the world, man. So, and you're telling me you think you could be under 100 if you played a lot.
Well, let me tell you this, Joe. If Tiger's in it late on Sunday, why don't you give me a text? And I'm still probably not going to turn football off, but still, let me know.
I know you're not. I don't expect you.
Well, depends
to,
how close the fantasy league.
Now he's got to put this right next to football. I love this. He puts
it's not
Open.
Putting it next to football. It's going to be on the same time, is it not?
Yeah, but it starts. It's 4 days. You know they play 4 day tournament, right? And you make the cut after Friday,
it's not
Thursday,
just
Friday, Saturday.
I understand, but there's a lot of other things in the priority list here. So again, if Tiger's in it late on Sunday and the football games are just horrible, there's a chance.
I like when we bring up the Hollywood stuff and people are just extremely pissed off in Hollywood on the text line for it.
I try to explain things. I try to be like really nice and going, I get it, man. And, you know, I have too much time to get involved in every and watch everything. But, like, just to come on and say, like, if you played all the time, you could shoot like a 95 or a 96 at this U.S. Open course, which Tiger Woods came out yesterday and said one of the most difficult courses in the world.
He says it's hard. How hard can, I mean, it's got to be tough if he comes out.
He's already got demons in his head. Right, he hadn't even hit the first driver yet, or three wood, and he's already.
Don't forget, Tiger's not very good anymore.
Right.
You're just, you know what? You're just saying really.
I mean, he really isn't, is he?
He's still one of the top-ranked players in the world, man. What are you talking about?
Joe, if you think he has a shot to win, why don't you bet on it? He's 40-1.
It's not a bad bet.
And if you really think he has a shot, I don't think he's going to make the cut, but if you think he has a shot to win the tournament, why don't you just bet on it?
I think there's a good chance he doesn't make the cut, yes, because he just doesn't play. I always liked the old Tiger would at least play one tournament before and, you know, and kind of get the – kind of and he's just – that playing at home and going out a couple days early. Anything we get from him past the cut is great for business.
Bonus. Yeah, it's bonus.
If we can watch him on the weekend, because if he is there on the weekend, we will see every shot. Don't you worry, because that's good for business.
They need to make like a TV exception for Tiger Woods, like just not have him involved in the cut.
Just let him no matter where he is.
Say, listen, Tiger, you're the only golfer people can stomach to watch on television, so we're going to need you to play the next two rounds, even though you're way back.
Always put him in the lead pack, too. Always.
Why you have to take a shot at all the other guys that got to play that? Like, why? What made you, like, just say you don't like the
sport? I mean, you got Bryson DeChambeau out here fighting with camera guys. I mean, he's complaining.
That's the story you have.
We're going to need you out here on Saturday and Sunday, Tiger.
That's the story you have, DeChambeau, the only story you have about the U.S. Open coming up.
You know, is he the same guy that took steroids, or was that someone different?
He went on a high calorie count.
Right. Come on. You're just eating Whoppers.
Eating six breakfasts and eating having 25 protein shakes.
What is he pounding? Hotcakes, Joe?
I'm not going there. You're a bad guy. You're just not a very nice guy.
Mr. Pylon.
Oh, man. All right.
Joe drives up to the drive-thru. Can I have the hotcakes, please? I'm going to eat those in my lap right now as I drive.
Nobody laughed. You're the only one who laughed.
You cover those in syrup, too?
Everybody wants, yes, and butter. Everybody wants to punch you right now. I'm going to save you because we're going to go to break here, man.
Thank you for saving me, Mr. Hotcakes.
You can't save him.
What do you get, like a little egg on the side, too, a little sausage?
I like them all.
It's called the Big Breakfast, right?
Yes.
That's it.
You haven't had it?
I just know of it very well. My dad orders it all the time.
Now you take a shot. Why don't you go see your
dad? I'm more of a handheld egg McMuffin guy.
Why don't you go say hello to your? Why don't you go spend a little time say hello to your dad? Leave my McDonald's breakfast alone there.
We're going to hear Joe gets in an accident because he was eating his hot cakes and eggs with his fork while he was driving.
All right.
He's driving with his feet.
Well, why don't you take us to break right now? We'll be back in just a moment.
Getting back on the practice field and getting back out there. So today was a great day for us. Just new opponent, new week, starting fresh, just getting into the preparation. But You know, obviously you don't want to have weeks like I had last week, and, you know, that can't happen if we're going to win football games. So just put everything I have into this week and move on. And for me and the roller coaster I've been on, I have an easy way of putting things like that behind me and moving on. And I probably talked more on the bench than I normally would in between series, just talking with him, talking through, you know, what I was seeing, what they were doing. And it's good for me. It's good for me to walk through those things. But I, especially in talking through some of those things, want him to kind of understand what I'm seeing and to be able to ask questions, even if it isn't a game-like setting. And I thought we had a good back and forth, good rapport on the sideline. You know, and he asked some really good questions, and it seemed like he saw the game. He saw the game pretty decent from the sideline in terms of the stuff that we were talking about and some of the questions he was asking. So it was good. And it was a good start just to build on that communication now. Just being another set of eyes for me to be able to trust. You know, I thought he did a nice job.
All right. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick back at practice yesterday talking about the relationship with two on the side. Incredible. You may never, ever hear about this, but a lot of it has to do with the media, and everybody wants to know Tua. Anything about Tua, when Tua's going to be ready, is Tua learning, what did Tua do during the game? And Ryan Fitzpatrick talked about, he asked great questions. I just thought that was really weird. It's like a professor, like, he asked great questions before the test. He asked great questions. Like, he is really zeroed in, like, yeah, I hope he's zeroed in and asking the right questions, because he's going to get a handoff here at some point. I don't know when.
You think it can come as soon as Jacksonville, though? Even a short week, huh?
Wow. I do. I do. I think a lot of it counts on what happens this week, but I would not count out Thursday night Jacksonville.
Wow.
But again,
right.
I say that, and Ryan Fitzpatrick chews it up this week and gets it rolling and plays a lot better, and that will be gone. I always say this, even though I know Tua's on the when's he going to play watch, but this coach, I'm always got to, like, back up six steps after I say it. I know Tua's a first pick, fifth overall pick, highest pick we've ever had for a quarterback, you know, in a long time, and I forgot where Bob Greasy was drafted. But I know that the goal is to get him out there. But then you got to remind yourself, Brian Flores is about winning football games. And he is going to play, as we learned last week. I mean, I'm sitting here with his depth chart, and a guy that's third at safety, third string safety on the one side, ends up making 10 tackles and playing as much as anybody, as many snaps as anybody. So he's going to play the guys that he thinks best. Still talking about the, you know, Gaskin played a lot more than we thought and was productive. Like, he ain't moving out of the lineup. Like, Gaskin's going to play more this week too. Like, I'm going to be shocked if Gaskin goes from what he did last week and then doesn't play against the Buffalo Bills. I would be very surprised.
But you got to think that Breida's got to be more in the run game, right? Or something. He's got to play a little bit more than he did last week.
So, I'm just going by yesterday. I saw the comments of the offensive coordinator saying, or 2 days ago, and he said he's going to get, wants to get Breida in more playing. So that tells me, okay, and that answers that he wants to get him in there and get him playing. Yeah. The other story, of course, is the Miami Heat tonight against the Celtics, 7 o'clock start, game two. Everybody's still talking. It's amazing about, I don't know how you do the best block, because there's been so many great blocks through the years in the history of the game, but everybody is just talking about, it was so clean. The guy he was going against was so high and getting ready to throw it down, and the strength of the block, I think he blocked with his left hand, right? It was a left-handed block going up, and just how strong and how clean it was, and of course it saved the game. That was so you just look at all of it, and you just and then you hear people come on the show and go, man, that's the greatest block of all time. Forget right. The blocks from behind, where, like, he saw him and he goes, I got to make this block. And it wouldn't have been easy to foul him, right? Or just get physical with him and say, we'll just take our chances at the free throw line.
Well, that was Tatum's thing, right? Taking the ball to the hoop was either going to get fouled or dunk the ball right over
Correct.
His head.
Nine out of ten times.
Right. I'm getting to the free throw line or I'm jamming this ball and that's it. Game
or
over.
Both.
Well, yeah, probably. And that's what I thought the minute he got past Jimmy Butler. By the way, when we talk about blocks and we talk about playoffs or championship blocks, Chris Bosh hasn't been mentioned. Remember the block he had? Was it on Manu Ginobili in like the corner? Like it was in the corner where Ray Allen hit that shot. He had an unbelievable block, clean block on the guy to end a game too. And Bosh hasn't been mentioned, especially with heat blocks the last couple of days.
I don't know how you rank them. So everybody that's been watching basketball or watching the Heat's going to have their favorite moments in the history of the franchise. But
this one's got to be big just because it was at the end of the game. And if he doesn't block that shot, game over. If Tatum dunks that ball or gets fouled and gets to the free throw line, more than likely game over. The only way for the Heat to win that game was somehow, some way for Bam to cleanly block that shot. And he did it.
It was so clean
right. That
it's... Hey, it all of a sudden goes right there with all the great plays in the history and the franchise. And, of course, I always think of Ray Allen's three-point shot. Like, it always pops up. I know we've had a lot better players than Ray Allen on the team.
But that's the biggest shot in the history of this organization.
I mean,
it's hard not to say that. It was in the championship round.
We've had
lost that
obviously
game.
A lot of great games from a lot of different players, including LeBron James' game against Boston is – in the playoffs will go down as to keep that thing alive and end up winning it, coming back to win.
Individual shot. That was the best game we probably have seen ever from a guy in this franchise. But shot by itself, one shot, one play, and it's just a jumper. I don't know how.
Pretty damn good.
No, right.
It's, too bad 20,000 fans or 18,000 fans couldn't see it, right. Either on the road or at home. But, yeah, it was still – pretty amazing, and you know, everybody yesterday ranking it where it ranked with everything that was going on. It was super special for sure. Just crazy, crazy good stuff there.
I know Magic's a clown kind of on social media, Magic Johnson, but for him to come out and say what he said, that's pretty interesting considering how long he's been around the NBA.
I just don't know about any of the great centers who used to block a lot of shots. And the day of the 7-foot center was in, and everybody was looking for one to where we are now. And today's NBA, where almost a 6'8", 6'9 guy is more attractive to teams. And we don't see, I always say this, and I'm going old school on you, there used to be a ton of double-double 7-foot centers or 6'11".
Oh, yeah.
6'11", 7-foot guys that were playing. So there must have been a lot of great blocks back then, but for a guy that's done a few drugs, that one is, and can't remember all the old plays, that's damn good, man. That was right up there. That was fantastic. So anyway, we have all that stuff. We got Mark Ross going to join us. Really looking forward to it. NFL Network front office analyst who's been with the Giants and the Bills and the Eagles, and we'll talk to him about a lot of different stuff. And as we get set for the NFL to kick back up tonight, Thursday night football, Dolphins have the next Thursday night football game against Jacksonville. But tonight, Cincinnati and Cleveland will play against each other. Really, really looking forward to it. The other story breaking out, we haven't talked that much about because we're not in Big Ten country. They just recruit all our kids. That's all. They just recruit all our good players and have success down here. But – the Big Ten now coming in, which is great, October 24th. Going to be able to get a lot of games in as long as they don't have to postpone games. And now they'll have to, that committee, that Final Four committee, will have to decide a lot of different things because everybody, you know, the SEC hasn't started yet. I don't know a lot of people realize. So far, it's just been the ACC and Big 12. And we've had trouble getting some of those games in because of the coronavirus. Especially with Virginia Tech and Virginia.
The American is playing as well, by the way.
Yeah, no. Some of the smaller conferences are playing. Right.
Thank you for the shot. Appreciate it.
Right. Did you guys play last weekend?
We did. We beat that Citadel team.
That's right.
We got Notre Dame this weekend, though. It'll be a tough one.
You think?
What's the spread in that? Like 30?
25.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what might be a good game. UCF and Georgia Tech.
Yeah, you're right.
Georgia Tech just went to Florida State.
They did. That's right.
And now Georgia Tech's like, I think they're home, if I'm not mistaken. That game's in Atlanta against UCF.
Yeah, but Florida State sucks.
Let me tell you something. You can say whatever you want. UCF beat Georgia Tech, man. You know what you're going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they can beat a power. Oh, yeah. And they might. It might happen. It's not.
But it's barely fair to even consider Georgia Tech a Power 5 team.
Oh my God! What do you call?
Joe, they went like what did they go 3-9 last year? And just because they beat Florida State, like Florida State's terrible. They're awful.
But they're how bad would Georgia Tech beat South Florida? Would Georgia Tech?
They played last year, and it was a very close game. Not a well played game, but it was very close. Georgia Tech won.
Yeah, and Georgia Tech beat Miami last year.
Yeah, that was like their only wins last year were USF and Miami.
I know, but whatever you want to say, like you just say stuff like it's Power 5, it's Power 5. Like they decide to have Georgia Tech in there. Like UCF, they're going to be motivated to especially.
Don't say Power 5 is Power 5, though. That's not necessarily accurate. I mean, what, you want to send like Wake Forest and Vanderbilt and these other teams in there too?
Well, they're in the Power 5.
There's a ton of bottom feeders in these conferences.
Right.
Wow. Your take on
any
sports,
school from the Pac-12?
You know what? Your take on sports, like honestly, I think you're just you just are out there. You're out there.
You'd have a better voice.
We couldn't disagree more.
Right.
Then you just go after people you don't like. I like the Pac-12 thing. Like I get it that they're not as strong as some of the other conferences. But the constant shots at the Pac-12.
Coming from a guy whose team was voted to be the worst in their own conference.
I know, but Joe, you started it by taking a shot at the Americans, so.
I didn't take a shot.
You did. You called them a smaller conference. We like to be considered part of the Power 6.
Okay.
Who else is in
that
six?
That's part of the motto, the Power 6.
You're beautiful.
Well, now it's just Power 5 because the Pac-12 doesn't exist anymore.
They're back in November, man. Which, by the way,
did they make an announcement? Because no one's covering that league, apparently.
They are talking about mid to late November coming back. Like, right. What are you doing? Like,
are they going to play 4 games?
I don't know how. Well, they can play each other. So,
no, I'm just saying, are they going to have 4 game schedule? If they want to try to get in the playoff or have a team in there,
they got no shot to get. If you play late November, you have no shot to get in.
Because that's the whole Big Ten approach. Schedule. Get 8 games in before that.
This thing is.
They really
so
should
spread
consider
out.
Either taking Tuesdays from the MAC or also the 9 a.m. Eastern slot for the Pac-12 as well.
We got to go to break here because we're tired of Hollywood stupid stuff, stupid ass stuff that he says this morning.
They can play at 6.
Why don't you see if South Florida's
it's
hiring
just an early
right
start.
Now up there to go right. up there and do some play-by-play.
They need to do SID. They need to do SID.
You'd be good up there. You'd be good with those guys. Tampa wants you back, man. Hey, we got to go to break here. We're going to have Mark Ross, NFL Network front office analyst, going to join us at 9:20. We'll check in on the text machine, 305-567-0560. We'll be right back.